Lord, we thank you this morning for once again granting us this great opportunity to be in your presence, O Lord. It's a great privilege, though sometimes we don't realize how blessed we are to sit and to stand in the presence of a living God, O Lord. Heavenly Father, as we are standing in your presence, we know that you are the answer to all our issues. But before that, we know that you are holy. And when we are standing in your presence, we are benefiting from, we are partaking of your holiness, O Lord. That's why, Heavenly Father, which anything that is in us that doesn't confess your name, take it away, O Lord. And let, O Lord, the channel between you and us be completely open so that you can speak to us and we can fully partake of the blessing of it being in your presence. Bless your people wherever they are, O Lord, online, in this room, or all over the world, O Lord. We remember our brethren saints in Nottingham who are connected with us today, O Lord. Bless them, O Lord. Let this meeting be a real blessing. At the end, we will really testify that you have spoken to our hearts, that we have worshipped you, and our souls have been fulfilled, O Lord. We bless your name in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you richly, saints. The saints in Nottingham, we are so happy to have you this morning. And I have a really good consideration for our precious brother Oliver Marange, who is a true minister, a true servant of God. And I remember recently I was listening to his sermon he preached in the camp there, trying to understand or learning to understand. A very rich sermon. I always go back to listening to that sermon because these are just things that, small things of life that we consider for granted, but if we don't really take them into consideration, we will have many troubles many times. So God bless you, Brother Oliver, and may He bless your ministry, your church, and all the people across there in Nottingham. Let's open our Bibles. We are still on our topic, the ministries in the Bride of Christ. Ephesians 4, for those who don't know, it's our Sunday school lesson, so we have just less than 30 minutes. To just try to see what we have been seeing for the last four. This is the fourth week we are on this topic, ministries in the Bride of Christ. Ephesians 4 from 11 to 13. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, to the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. God bless you, Brother Paul. And happy birthday, though it's late. God bless you, richly. So we were looking at the ministries. For those who were not there, I'll just go give a quick background of what we have been talking about. A question was asked to the prophet in 1963 in the questions and answers on the seals. Would the Bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? And the prophet answered that question saying, that's what's going on right now. Certainly, it is the message of the hour. See, the Bride of Christ, sure, she consists of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. So that was our starting point. The prophet was showing that before the rapture, the message has been preached We came from a point where people say we don't need the fivefold ministry anymore. The prophet has given the message, you know, all the mysteries of God have been revealed and we don't need ministers anymore. We have the tapes, we have booklets, that's it. But the prophet says the bride has a ministry before the rapture. It is the message of the hour. And the message of the hour consists of the fivefold ministry. No, it's apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and so forth. Amen. So we have seen how the role of the job of the ministry is to build the edifice, to take the stones in their initial states, to model them, to fashion them so that each one of us will be a stone in the building, because we are an edifice, as Paul puts it. We are building the edifice of the living God, and each and every one of us is a stone in the edifice. Some of us will come the way they are, completely. They don't need any shaping. They don't need any fashioning. The way they are perfect to fit in the building. Amen. Some will come with a weird shape that will need some modeling, that will need some shaping. So it will take some hard work to take that extra flesh so that you can fit into the building. We saw it. And after that, we started seeing the specificity of each of the ministries. We saw what an apostle was, what the operation of the ministry of an apostle, how it was. There was a question raised, and Pastor Andrew answered that question very, I can say, professionally, you know. And there's no doubt around it. We didn't mean that white people shouldn't go to preach in Africa or in third world countries, but the way the prophet puts it was that get a native converted. So you can come from Ireland, from Switzerland, from England, and go in Ghana or Nigeria or wherever, preach the gospel there, get one converted. You can do the missionary work that way. But the best, the most effective way, the prophet say, get a native converted, and it's his job to convert his people. Last week, we were seeing about the ministry of the pastor, how it operates. And quickly, we saw that I'm just going to read something before I carry on. It was in the sermon, present stage of my ministry. Just to give a context in the operation of the ministries in the body of Christ. You know, we saw one side, how us as, you know, stones, we need to be fashioned by the fivefold ministry to fit into the building. But on the other side, we see the responsibility of the ministers to carry on, to do that job that has been given to them, to, you know, fashion the people, to take care, to look after the people of God. As Brother Andrew said it the other day, if you don't keep your position in the ministry, you may end up like Lucifer, who was there. He was not happy in the position God placed him. He started to take a position that was not his, and it brought a big confusion in the ministry. So it's the responsibility of the ministers now we are looking at. The prophet says, in the present stage of my ministry, I hope he will crown my ministry of this, of letting me take the clothes of the word and dress his bride in the clothes of the word and for his righteousness. I hope he will crown me. Let me stand on that day, say, behold the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. So that's the responsibility of the ministry. Because as we read in the first quote, you know, the ministry of the bride consists of the fivefold ministry. That's the message of the hour. And the prophet is showing us here that the message of the hour, the aim of the message of the hour is to, to dress the bride in the clothes of the word. That the work of the fivefold ministry, before the rapture, the fivefold ministry is there to clothe to dress the bride in the clothes of the bride, of the word. So it's a sacred responsibility. The job of the minister, the fivefold ministry, is to look after the bride, to get her ready, to get her rapture ready, to dress her in the clothes of the word of God. So whether you are a pastor, a prophet, an evangelist, a teacher, or whatever ministry you are holding, the responsibility is to dress the bride of Christ. That's why last week we were looking, when we were showing the ministry of the pastor, by definition, a pastor is a sheep feeder, someone who looks after the sheep, someone who tends, someone who cares for the sheep. But we saw that today, many, the role has been inverted. Instead of feeding the sheep, most pastors today are sharing the sheep. You know, pastors have become fat from the fat of the sheep. Instead of having fat sheep and normal pastors, we have today, you know, very slim sheep and fat pastors. The sermon is just give to the pastor. Pay your tithes. Amen. Do this for the pastor. And, you know, the focus has been shifted from feeding the sheep to the sheep feeding the pastor. Amen. So that's why we saw the first characteristic of a pastor is to lay his life, is ready to lay his life for his sheep. Amen. That was John 10. 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. 15, as the Father knows me, even so I, the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. A pastor is someone who is ready to sacrifice himself for the sake of his flock. Amen. That's the first characteristic of a pastor. We saw it, so we don't have too much time to spend there. The second characteristic, we saw it, I think, last week. He does not carry out the shepherding role because of pay. He doesn't do it because of money. Whether there is money or not, if you have a calling of a pastor, that burden in you, because the prophet says a pastor is a burden carrier. It was typified in Aaron wearing the names, the 12 names of the tribes of Israel on his chest. He had the pectoral. They call it pectoral, is it? I know it in French is pectoral. I don't know in English how you call it. The ephod. He had it on his chest with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. He was a burden carrier. That's what a pastor is. He has, you know, he is so passionate for his people that sometimes he will forget himself. He will lay himself aside to look after his sheep. Look the way the prophet puts it. One time when I was over in the Orient, I learned a great lesson about John chapter 10 says. He says, I am the gate of the sheepfold. You know the scripture when the prophet says it. I often wondered, how could he be a man, be a door? But when I was over there, I learned what that means. The shepherd drive the sheep into the sheepfold, and they got an ark that they got in it. And when they drive them in all in there, then after they are all in there, then he counts them. That's a shepherd. He counts his sheep. If there is one lacking, he will go out and get it. He has to bring it in. Every sheep has to be accounted for every hour of the day. Amen. 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 That's what a pastor is.
He has to account for his sheep. He carried their burden. He know that as long as one sheep, I don't know where its location, where it is now, is not, you know, is not at rest. He's not happy. He count its sheep. Every sheep has to be accounted for every hour of the day. If a sheep is in danger, he will run after the sheep. He is the captain of the boat. Amen. He is the captain of the boat. And you know, I've been working in aviation. One of the rules, one of the golden rules in aviation, especially the responsibility of the captain, when there is a crash or something, as long as it is possible, as possible, the captain must be the last to leave the airplane. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. He has to make sure that everyone is safe before he leaves. Amen. As far as possible. Of course, there's cases where he can't. But as far as he can, before he leaves the ship, before he leaves the airplane, he has to make sure that everyone is out. He has to sacrifice himself. And history, I've studied aviation. History of aviation tells us that there have been many captains that died because of that principle. He was so passionate about his passengers that he wanted to make sure that they are all safe, that the fires caught him in the airplane, and he died. He was ready to lay his life for his people, for his sheep. If in the worldly realm, things can be done like that, a man, just because of the function, just because of the position he holds in this life, he can lay his life for his passenger. Amen. How much more for the bride of Christ? Should you, pastor, should you, brother, be ready to lay your life for the sake of the people of God? Amen. We have seen pictures, you know, movies of real movies of a captain getting out of the plane, carrying a man with flames behind him. Himself in flame, but he was ready to get that little passenger, get out of the plane while his clothes were burning. Mm-hmm. You see how far the world teaches us. But today what we see in the ministry, it's a business now. As I was saying the first time, ministry has become a multinational business. Amen. You know, pastors have now, how do you call it? Branch offices. An office in London, an office in Dublin, an office in Soweto, an office in, I don't know, Kuala Lumpur. Amen. And there is a big manager, you know. How much did they pay tithes in Kuala Lumpur? How much tithe did they pay from Dubai? No, that's not what the ministry is. The Bible says a good shepherd knows his sheep by their names. Those people that pay you tithes, you are just getting those tithes. Big money, big envelopes. Do you know how are they called? Do you know their names? You are just happy to get tithes and becoming rich and rich and rich. You don't even know the names of those people that pay those tithes. The Bible says he knows them by name. Amen. Amen. I think it's John chapter 10. John chapter 10, let me find it. Yeah, it's verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by mine. Amen. Knowing your sheep, I think once we were talking, I think in one Sunday school lesson, when I was talking about the new birth, I spoke about getting to know the Lord. Knowing your sheep is not just the verb know as we know it. Knowing implies an intimate relationship. Amen. When the Bible says Adam knew his wife Eve, it's not knowing the way I know you. It implies an intimate relationship. A shepherd knows his sheep. It means he knows them beyond the surface. He knows them beyond what you and me can see. Amen. When he sees that sheep, he knows, I know that sheep. Though you see it good, in good health and everything, but that particular sheep, I know she's going through very difficult situation now. That knowing your sheep, you have more than a superficial knowledge than what the other people know. You know your sheep. You know their names. And when you see, you know, I need this particular sheep, need particular attention. Because she has lost her mom 2 weeks ago. Or because she's going a very serious situation in a home with the children. That's knowing your sheep. But most pastors today are only interested in knowing their financial, their sheep's financial situation. When they say, I know my sheep, yeah. He has a 10,000 euro pay per month. Mm-hmm. That knowing your sheep. But those sheep that are jobless, the pastor doesn't even care about them. The pastor doesn't even care about them. It's so pitiful to see today. These are real life situation. You know, people... God bless you. Amen. People that made the pastors rich. Let me say it. Those people, because most... Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. We know where we come from. Most pastors were not rich the way they are today. Those very people that made the pastors rich, today those people are poor. You know, those people have got their business have run bankrupt completely. But the pastors, some of the pastors, they don't even look after those people that made them rich. Mm-hmm. Amen. There are people who were there, they were committed to supporting those ministries. They were giving million, pumping money in the churches. But those people, their business have run down. Their business have fallen. The pastors have become super rich today. They don't even look after those people that made them to become rich. Amen. It's a pity. Amen. If you are a good shepherd, whether your sheep is fat or your sheep is slim, you will look after them. Amen. Amen. You know your sheep and you work with passion looking after your sheep. But it's a pity to see most of the pastors, they know only big fat sheep. Those small lambs, they don't even know their names. Amen. They don't even know where they are. A lamb can leave the country Uganda and go to Brazil. The pastor doesn't even care. But if a fat sheep leave and go to Mongolia, is it? I don't know those countries. The pastor knows even the street name where that person lives. Amen. You know, there, down there in Malaysia, he knows even the house. Mm. Why? Because he's a fat sheep. Mm. That's not the way the ministry must work. Amen. We have read it there. The prophet was praying that, Lord, help me crown my ministry with this. Help me dress your bride with the clothes of the word. We are there as ministers to help the bride put on that dress. Amen. We have to look after every single one of the sheepfold. That if they are too fat for the dress, to get them to slim so that their dress will fit them. If they are too small for the dress, to feed them a lot so that they'll get enough, you know, proteins that they can fit into the dress. A dress has been given to every one of the ministers. That the ministry of the bride, as the prophet says it, the ministry of the bride before the rapture is consists of apostles, prophets, and so forth. What is their role? Is to dress the bride.
Amen.
Amen. The role of us, you, my brother, my sister. Sorry, there's no sisters, ministers. Amen. You, my brother, who are called in the minister, remember you have been given a dress. And you have been given a flock. You have been given a flock, sorry. And your job is to make sure, whether you are an evangelist, whether you are, as an evangelist, your role is to go and find that bride. She's, you know, dirty, she's covered with mud or whatever. Your job as an evangelist, bring her. We spoke about stones. Bring them as stones, the way they are. It's not your business. But you, pastor, when the evangelist have brought you those people, it's your job now. No matter what they are, no matter what race, what color, what sex, what tribe, what language they speak, are they valid, are they not valid, are they crippled? No matter what they are, pastor, shape them. Give them that shape that that will help them take the right position in the building. Amen. We shouldn't be looking at people, the people of God, just as a source of funding, as a source of money. You know, you will do it whether it's a poor church or a rich church. There's no wrong in having a rich church. There's nothing wrong in having, you know, people that support the ministries. Just, I need to be balanced, you know. There's nothing wrong with the pastor being paid tithes. That's completely the word. Amen. But if you keep the balance, because we have seen churches today where those people that pay big tithes, you know, they are, how they call it? It's kind of, they've got immunity against the word. There's nothing preached against them. They've been immune. Their money covered their sins. Amen. They will go. We have seen churches changing even the preaching, the doctrine, because of a big fat sheep. He's gone and get a second and a third wife. The doctrine of the church changes. They believe now polygamy. Why? Because a big donor, a big financial giver in the church, he's doing things that are contrary to the word. But since the pastor has become subject to that man, it's that man now who leads the church. Whatever he thinks, that's what will be done.
Amen.
That's not the way it should be. No matter, my dear brother, you are a pastor. No matter rich or how poor you are, a sheep is a sheep.
Amen.
No matter how rich he is, when it comes to preaching the word, they should be treated equally. If he's not happy, let him go. With his money, God will fill someone else. God will send someone else, even richer than him. Don't adjust your doctrine because a rich man don't want the things you are preaching. No. What about the poor man?
Amen.
Amen. So, there's much to say, but I think we will stop here with the pastors. There's many things to say. But just to say that it's very important that us in the ministries, as you know, God has given us that responsibility of looking after
Amen.
The people of God. We need to do it with, you know, with that level of respect, that level of responsibility, of passion that God wants us to do it, because it's not a business serving the people of God. Of course, we can take it as a business spiritually, but it's not a business in the worldly sense of the word. You know, it's the people of God. We are looking after souls, and these souls need to be cared for. These souls need to be looked after. And let's do it with responsibility. Let's do it knowing that it's the people of God.
Amen.
Getting to look after your sheep, getting to know, are they safe? Getting to know, what can I do? I was saying last week, if you are really called and commissioned and passionate with the word of God, you'll see some pastors going even to the extreme of neglecting their own family. We've seen it with Moses. He was so committed to serving the people of God that he forgot to circumcise his own children, and that drew the wrath of God on him. We don't want to go to that extreme, but it's just to show you that when you put the people of God first, sometimes you'll see some pastor getting even sick because they can't sleep, they can't eat, they are driving up and down, they become even mad just because of the passion of serving the people of God.
Amen.
Amen. God richly bless you, and we believe that these things will help someone.
Amen.
They are not, targeting, we are not targeting anyone. We are just speaking the word. And let us really humble ourselves under the leadership of the Lord, and may God help us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We commit this the rest of the service into your hand. Bless your people as we'll be singing, as we'll be listening to the preaching of the word. Bless the offerings, bless the tithe, bless everything that will be done for your glory. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.